I despise your killing and raping. You're despicable.
Are you my judge?
It's just, you should be punished. I'm going to chop off your arm. So are you ready?
Are you ready? I know I'm ready. Welcome to Asian Cinema Fusion. I am your host, Paul Martinez. It's been a while since I've been with you guys. Unfortunately, I was a little under the weather. I had a little touch of bronchitis. And I didn't think you guys would appreciate if I was just coughing over the microphone during the show. So what I decided to do was just let it try to work itself out of my system. I'm not totally better. Might hear still a slight raspiness in my voice, but I'm not coughing as much, so I should be able to get through this show without much incident. And what a show it's going to be. As I'm recording this, I just finished spending the last 2 days over at the New York Old School Kung Fu Festival over at the, Anthology Archives. I'm sorry, I'm messing that up. And they were over on 2nd Avenue and 2nd Street. And I went to a secret screening on Saturday night. You're going in not knowing what you're going to see. And it turned out to be Shogun Assassin. So that was quite a treat. And went back Saturday to see Shinobi no Mano, a.k.a. Band of Assassins, Part 1 and 2. Really the birth of ninja films coming out in 1965. And that's pretty much what started all the ninja craze that went on through the late 60s, 70s, and early 80s. It all started from those two films. And so I think that was very interesting films. Very interesting to see. They get a lot into the real ninja life, the real code, not just, you know, you see later on, they're just faceless guys in black outfits who just, you know, are there to get, you know, killed by the hero of the movie. A little different. You got a little more of an insight of what they were about, what their philosophies were. Definitely interesting film if you want to try to check out. There's 8 parts in all, 8 different films in that series. I only saw the first 2 at the festival, but they were both really good. A little more intricate than you might expect from ninja films, but again, it really delves a lot into, you know, the code and the philosophy behind everything. And so it gives it a really fresh, you know, as fresh as a film from 1965 can be, a fresh perspective on the whole ninja, you know, legend. But let's get on to our show for this episode, which is episode 2. And the first film we're going to talk about is a film made in Hong Kong in 2013 named Control. Now, this was directed by Kenneth Bai. He's one of the youngest yet hottest directors in Hong Kong today, known for the acclaimed The Drummer. He also did Rice Rhapsody. I believe that was his first full-length feature film, if I'm not mistaken. Both of them very well received. The film is starring Daniel Wu as Mark. He's the lead. You should know Daniel Wu. He's been around a lot. If you're familiar with the Overheard trilogy, he is in all 3 of those. The New Police Story, Tai Chi Hero, one of his early works should be Naked Weapon. That's one of his early films. So Daniel Wu's a pretty accomplished actor, and he has the lead here. Also sharing the spotlight with him, Simon Yam, who of course you should know from the Election films, SPL, Ip Man, numerous other films. I mean, I could go on for 30 minutes just sitting here naming Simon Yam films. And Leon Dye plays a character named Devil. I'm not familiar with him. I know he started a film called Cannot Live Without You. He is kind of a newcomer to Hong Kong cinema. If this film was any indication, we'll be seeing a lot more of Leon Dye in the future. Now, what is the story about? Well, this is a story of revenge, blackmail, trust, and greed. The film is set in a not-too-distant future city of what looks to be Hong Kong. When I say not-too-distant future, I'm going to say maybe 20, 25 years in the future, it looks like it's taking place in. They have really fancy phones. Like, forget iPhone 6s. They're like iPhone 26s over here. You know, like, so they had a couple futuristic elements. You know, they showed in places like the bank. You know, as for what the plot of the film is, you know, the film opens and we see a man, Mark, who's being chased by a group of thugs and he's captured. And they bring him to, like, a warehouse. And once he's there, he's being questioned by some heavy hitters, including Leon Dai and Simon Yam. And he begins to tell this tale, almost a tale of intrigue, if you will, which kind of explains how we've come to this point. And the rest of the film mostly is told in flashback form, where Mark is telling Tiger, who is Simon Yam's character, you know, what were the events that led up to where they are now. I really don't want to give too much away on that, but this has a feel of many of the K-dramas, those K-suspense films that are, you know, the rash lately. There's a very good story with a few nice twists. One of them I saw coming pretty much a mile away, but there were some other twists I didn't see. From the opening, one thing that I didn't like was they really tried to push this whole futuristic. I almost thought the film was going to have something to do with like a future dystopian society, but that really never materialized. I'm not really sure the whole point of having this film take place 25 years in the future, because I didn't feel that there was anything in the story that couldn't happen the same today. So the film was even billed as like a science fiction film, but outside of the fancy phones and maybe a couple of scenes in the bank, I didn't see anything that looked science fiction-y to me at all. That's my opinion. I mean, even Simon Yam's character. Simon Yam's character was like a throwback to like villains from the 90s, you know, like these, you know, the over-the-top villain with the animal print jackets and what have you. I mean, right out of like an old Chow Yun Fat film. So, I definitely don't understand the whole point of placing this film in the future. I don't feel that was used to its benefit anywhere in storytelling. But even that is not the biggest problem. Daniel Wu turns in a fine performance. And they really flesh out his character very well. His motivations, what's going on with him. And that's great. But there are a ton. Not just Simon Yam and Leon Dai. There's a ton of, you know, co-stars in this film that are, you know, from the opening scenes pretty much to the end of the movie are part of the film, and we get almost no character development on any of them. And that really bothered me because, you know, as you know, without character development, you don't care about the characters. If you don't care about the characters, is that going to mean anything to you if they're put in jeopardy? And yes, the character most in jeopardy was Daniel, and it did give you a lot of his background. But I just felt the rest of the people were there, and why was I even supposed to care about them? Another thing about this film is not a lot of action. Not a ton of it. There's some action scenes, but it's not a ton of action. So this film really works more on a cerebral level. And therefore, it needs to be really smart. And I think it falls a little short of that. I don't think it's really smart. I think it's smart, but not really smart. And I really feel like that's, like, you know, what this film needed to be. again, it's my opinion, but I felt a little bit of a slight disconnect on some levels, but on other levels, I liked it, because I love those films, if you're a fan like I am of those K-drama revenge noirs that we've gotten over the last few years, then you're probably going to enjoy this, as I did. But it's a solid watch. It's not a must-see film. I would give it a 6 out of 10 as a rating. And like I said, it's not a bad film. I don't think if you watch it, you're going to, send me emails and go, I want my hour and 40 minutes back or whatever. I don't think it's, anything that would harm you from seeing, but I don't think it's anything that you're going to want out watch it and then, oh my God, I got to show this to all my friends and tweet about it. Again, I think it's a solid, okay film, but nothing that knocks your socks off. And there's probably a bunch of films in the same genre that are much better. Our second film is The Pirates. This came out of Korea in 2014. Directed by Lee Suk-hoon. Fairly new director. Probably at this point in his career, best known for Dancing Queen in 2012. Starring Kim Nam-gil as Jang. I had recognized him from Hand Phone. I know he also starred in Lovers Vanished, which I didn't see, so I can't give a comment on that. But he was okay in this film. Sun Yi-jin plays Yu-wo. She's known for The Tower, and she was really good in this film. And then Yu Hai-jin as Cheo-bong, the pirate-turned-bandit-turned-pirate character in this film, and he is great in this film. You might know him from Taza, The High Rollers, and a film that we're actually going to talk about a little later, spoiler alert, The Unjust. Okay, for those who say that Korea is only good for their suspense thrillers, well, this film's for you then. It's an all-out action comedy in the highest fashion. The film is set in the late 14th century, just as the Joseon Dynasty is being formed. It's a very hectic place, and there's pirates and bandits, corrupt generals, all looking to get ahead in this flux of power. And when the new king's royal seal is lost at sea, I'm not going to give away how it's lost at sea. You'll have to watch the movie. It becomes a race against time and a race against greed to get it back no matter what, as many different factions of characters set out to try to retrieve this seal. The film is packed with action and lots of comedy-filled moments throughout. Some genuine LOL moments happen in the film. But it also has a lot of serious moments as well. And the story is not simple, to those of us unfamiliar with Korean history, but it's still fairly easy to follow. Some very nice special effects featuring the sea, featuring the creatures of the sea, such as whales. There was a great scene of a great white shark. So they did a really good job, making the whole stuff in the water very genuine. There was a huge cast of characters in this film, and they all kind of keep intertwining throughout, which keeps it fun. The fight scenes are well done, not overly bloody. In fact, very little in the way of graphic violence at all. Yu Hai-jin, who won the Grand Bell Best Supporting Actor Award for this film, which is kind of like the Korean Academy Awards, he really steals the show in my eyes as a former pirate who becomes a bandit because he hates fish. Can't make this stuff up. Definitely if you hate fish, you don't want to be a pirate. Some very funny scenes of him trying to explain the sea and its creatures to the bandits who basically lived in the mountains their whole lives, never been to the sea, have no idea what a whale or a shark is. And it leads to a lot of comical scenes of him trying to explain these creatures to these country bumpkins, if you will. And them either in disbelief or, thinks he's exaggerating. So it's good stuff. Really, really fun stuff with Yu Hai-jin. There are some really great visuals also, the scene, the mountains. The movie has a real blockbuster feel to it. You know, that real, you know, summertime blockbuster, lots of over-the-top action, explosions, or what have you. That's, you know, the kind of feel this movie had. It also garnered Sun Yi-jin a Blue Dragon Award for Best Actress. So this film was, while it is kind of that summer blockbustery type of film, it also got credit from the actual award scene out there in Korea, which was nice to see. Overall, this is a really fun film you can see with your family. You know, I know a lot of guys are trying to girlfriends or wives, or some girls are trying to turn their boyfriends on to Asian cinema. And as you know, if you're listening to this, you know, either you get it or you don't get it, right? We get it, and some people just don't. But this is a good film to try to use to bring somebody over. And if you can, I definitely recommend seeing this on Blu-ray, because I don't think Blu-ray is necessary for every film. But this is a film that I think seeing it in Blu-ray would be a benefit, just because of the great special effects and, you know, stuff in the ocean. And I just think it gives it a really nice, nice feel. I give the film a 7 out of a 10. Really, check it out. I recommend this. I think this is a movie everybody, ages all over, can have fun with. Now it's time for our old school review. As I watched this film on Saturday, Yojimbo, 1961 from Japan, in black and white. Directed by Akira Kurosawa, regarded by some as the greatest filmmaker that's ever lived. I mean, he's made, you know, without a doubt, some of the most influential films there will ever be. Rashomon, Seven Samurai, Ran, and of course, Yojimbo. Akira is a legend among legends. Many feel that this is his finest moment making this film. Starring longtime Akira leading man, Toshiro Mifune, from Stray Dog, Rashomon. You might have, if you've seen the 1980s Shogun, you know, that's also Mifune. I hope I'm pronouncing that name right, by the way. This is one of the classic tales in history. A lone samurai shows up in a lawless town with two evil factions at war and decides to play the two against each other. Definitely one of the most influential films in history, and with good cause. It was a great story. At points harrowing, yet extremely amusing in others. A graphic for the time that it was made. You know, 1961. I mean, if you're watching this today, you're going to be like, there's nothing graphic about this at all. It's tame. But put it back, you know, 50 years ago, and this was kind of a groundbreaker. Severed limbs and blood-covered clothing. This was a big step back in those times. For the martial arts, there was nothing dazzling about him. When he was just swinging his sword around and people were dying, there was really no great battle. I will say this film has been remade a couple of times. Even in TV shows have used the premise in their episodes. But I would say most notably would be A Fistful of Dollars, starring Clint Eastwood, and The Last Man Standing, starring Bruce Willis. Both two films that I love and saw before I saw Yojimbo. So I actually saw the remakes first. But Yojimbo does do it better than all of them. This film really needs to be seen by any fan of the genre, really. If you're a fan of old school martial art films, if you're a fan of samurai films, if you're a fan of, you know, just good cinema, then this is a movie that you really should get your hands on. They have a Criterion Collection Blu-ray that is beautiful. I mean, really beautiful. It doesn't look like this film is even close to being the 45 years old it is. I give the film a 7.5 out of 10. Definitely, to me, a must-watch. If you're here and you're listening to this because you love Asian films, you want to know more about them, then that's a film you really, really should see. And now we come to the highlight of the night. It is my wild card review. For those who are new to the show, wild card review is where I take one film, regardless of when it was made or screened, that I really, really like. It's only going to be my favorite films, but ones that I feel maybe flew slightly under the radar for whatever reason. Audiences at large may have passed on. And today, that review, the wild card, is going to be The Unjust from 2010 in Korea. This film is directed by Ryu Sung-won, one of Korea's top movie makers. He has a multitude of hits to his credit, including Arahan, City of Violence, Dachimawa Lee, and The Berlin File. The film stars Hwang Jung-min as police captain Choi. You would know him, I know him from his incredible performance in New World. You also know him from Blades of Blood and The Black House. And he's co-starring with Ryu Sung-bum. Now, this is the younger brother of our director, and he tends to be in a lot of his brother's films. But I don't think it's a case of, you know, family prejudice. I think the man's just a great actor, and his brother's smart to put him in his films. You know, you want to make a hit film, hey, my brother can act his rear end off, let's put him in it. Now, that's how I look at it. He plays prosecutor Ju Yang in his film. And where would you know him from? Well, he's got so many incredible big roles, but he plays the title character in Arahan. He had a great role in the movie Doomsday Book, a film that we'll probably review here at some point. And The Berlin File, a very big role in The Berlin File. Also starring this film, we talked about him a little while ago, Yoo Hae-jin. He's back in this film. He plays Gangster Jang. Of course, you know, he was won an award in Pirates. He's also been in Taza and Moss. And in this film, for Pirates, for The Unjust, he was nominated for a Grand Bell and a Blue Dragon Award for Best Supporting Actor. Okay, so what is this movie about that I love so much? This is the story of corruption and pride at its base. You know, in modern-day Korea, there's a child serial killer on the loose. The president's in an uproar, putting tremendous pressure on the police and prosecutors to find the killer, close this case. But when the lead suspect is killed by a distraught officer, who unfortunately was a member of one of the dead bodies that were found, this becomes a huge problem because they have no confession and they have no hard evidence. And so, because of this, the higher-ups in the police force decide to cover it up and demand Detective Choi to find himself a scapegoat. Find himself somebody else who's going to take the hit for this crime, and everybody will be able to get their promotions. Everybody, people on this film may be dealing with some dirt on their own, and this will help clear them. So everybody's pretty much on board to find, you know, a scapegoat to pin this on. You know, there's a lot of arguing going on as to whether Korea has gone ahead of the other Asian countries in filmmaking. And I'm not ready to make that call at this point in time. But a film right here, this could be one that lends a lot of evidence to support the country. This outstanding storytelling. So intricate, yet not talking over your head. That in itself is true art. The first 15 minutes or so, you might feel like you're not sure exactly what's happening, like what's going on, who's who, what. It happened to me even the second time I saw it. Give it a few minutes and everybody will kind of, you know, flesh their role out and you'll be able to know who's who fairly easily. There is a twist at the end of the film. I know, kind of the norm, the K-dramas. But this one really surprised me. So, love to know what you guys thought. All three of the actors turn in outstanding performances. Not just them. We have the entire cast really turned in this remarkable work. everybody up and down this cast was stupendous. A lot of unsung heroes. Captain Choi's partner, Prosecutor Zhu Yang's underling, played a fantastic role as this bumbling, I guess, second fiddle in the office, but is totally abused by Zhu anytime he gets a second to do so. And he really plays it well. Splendid performances all around, though, as I said, but especially from Yu Sung Bum and Yu Hai Jing. They really turned it on. No surprise to me of that, though. Interesting enough, though, there is no real female presence in the film. I mean, there are female characters, but all combined, they had maybe 10 lines total. There's no romantic interest for any of the characters. I will have to say, with all the American, I'm sorry, all the American remakes of Asian cinema that's been going on for the last few years, it surprises me that no one's remaking this film. This film is just incredible. And, you know, it's not just me saying that. It's not just the film received 6 Blue Dragon and 6 Grand Bell nominations. It took home 3 Grand Bells for Best Film, Director, and Screenplay. All 3 well-deserved. I give this film a 9 out of 10. Just amazing. Truly a must-see. That I just really, really think you will enjoy it, every aspect of it. This is the way films are supposed to be made, and I hope you guys get to see it too. I'd love to know what you think about it if you do. But that's our show. Thanks for tuning in. I promise to continue with bringing you some of the best Asia has to offer. I am planning to review Kung Fu Killer by Donnie Yen very soon, so you should see that coming up. But until that time, I'm gonna say bye-bye. Take care.